Well, I'm finally here. Last year I was supposed to give my testimony, and it just didn't seem to work out. So, let's just begin with a word of prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the privilege that we can gather together as sisters, and we can glorify your name. We thank you that the one purpose that has brought us here is Christ and his redeeming work. And we thank you for the testimonies that we have received thus far and the theme of forgiveness that you are teaching us again and again, especially this week with all the catastrophes that have happened. We just pray, Lord, that you will continue to guide us and teach us and show us your will and lead us and break our own will, that we will be yielded to you. We thank you and praise your holy name. Amen. One cold winter morning, I woke up to find a very thick envelope addressed to me lying in my front of my bedroom door. I didn't recognize the handwriting. Although it was quite elegant, there was no return address, only a slip that said New York City. I had a cousin in New York, but this was not her handwriting. Neither did it belong to my acquaintance Shirley, from whom I had received a letter a few days earlier. I opened the letter to find 8 pages of handwriting, smaller than my own, 2 rows of writing per line, in essence 16 pages in all. I still do not have the foggiest idea who wrote to me. So impatiently, I flipped to the back to see who signed it, and it said Sam. Little did I know then that I would be led by the Lord to open the pages of my heart to the man that had written to me. But before I go ahead of myself, let me backtrack and give you a little background of myself and our relationship. I was born in India, and we moved to Canada when I was 2 years old. My parents are believers, and so I was raised in a Christian home. Even my grandfather was a Hindu convert, and he spent most of his life preaching the gospel to those in India. The Lord saved me at the age of 7. I was attending a Christian club called Awana, and there my leader prayed that she did not want us to go to hell. I knew that I was not going to heaven, but I didn't really think about the fact that I was going to hell. And I knew then and there that I didn't want to be there. In my teenage years, I counseled at a Christian day camp called Conestoga Bible Camp in Canada. There, the evening sessions were devoted to the counselors, so we had a lot of ministry, a lot of teaching, and I had a better understanding there of confession of faith and repentance in regards to salvation. And, of course, I learned more of the Bible there. My university years had an anti-God climate. If you were not grounded in the Word, you were chewed up, spit out, and left to pick up the mangled pieces for yourself. But the Lord protected me from false doctrine. I was involved in a Christian fellowship group there, where ironically many of those in leadership positions in the group were from the assemblies. They encouraged me, they supported me in prayer. I even met a young man there and wondered whether he was the one. And he taught me about scriptural principles and the issue of headship. Fortunately, though, this was not the Lord's will. And as I was writing this out, my husband was proofreading it, and I had said, unfortunately, and he quickly corrected me. Will I ever be whole again? It took 2 years to get over the emotional trauma of this. But they were years that drew me closer to the Lord and gave me a keener sense of his will for my life. I wanted God's will concerning marriage and sought the scriptures to find the answer. I was convicted that dating was not God's ideal. I had personally dated and wasn't happy with the outcome. I saw many Christians date and claim to be utterly devoted to the other person, only to despise them months later after a broken relationship. The Indian custom of relationships involved arranged marriages, where the family of the girl sought a husband for her. God's example was different. And since I have a little extra time, let me explain how the arranged marriages work. This is how it used to work with when my parents got together. If somebody was interested in you, there would always be a third party involved. And the third party would get the two families together. You would come to the girl's house, the family of the boy and the boy, come to the girl's house. The only time you would ever see the girl was when she was serving you tea. She would serve you the tea, and she would lead back into the kitchen to meet her family. They would discuss whether they liked the boy, and the boy's family would discuss whether they liked the girl. If the girl's family liked the boy, they would be asked to stay for lunch. If the boy's family liked the girl, they would say they would stay. Well, God's example was different. It's different. The first marital relationship recorded in the Bible, God created Eve for Adam. Also in Genesis 24, Abraham sent out his son Eliezer to find a bride for his son Isaac. This typifies our Heavenly Father giving us the church as a bride to Christ. This was the pattern I wanted to see in my life. I had gone so far as to formulate a checklist for the man I should marry. This is what I was looking for. A godly Christian man from the assemblies who adhered strongly to New Testament pattern for the local church. He will cherish his wife as Christ cherishes and loves the church. He will rebuke me when I am sinning or not doing my duties, but rebukes and exhorts in a spirit of meekness and gentleness. He will encourage me to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will preach the word, make decisions including speaking engagements with me. We will pray together, study the word together, memorize scripture together. The fruit of the Spirit will be evident in him. He will desire to be hospitable and encourage the young people. He will want me by his side wherever he goes. He will tell me if he is attracted to someone else or is unattracted to me. He will understand my feelings and emotions and be sensitive to me as the weaker vessel. He will want to be a real father to our children. If my instincts tell me certain females to avoid, he will understand and flee, and I have that underlined. He will teach me to love him, honor him, and satisfy his needs. Possibly someone with money so that I can stay home and make him and our children my first ministry. That's not supposed to be funny. Someone who likes spicy foods and exotic things. And this I have capitalized. We need to have strong chemistry so there would be no temptation to stray or even think of another person. He will be someone who will share his feelings, emotions, and thoughts readily with me, and someone who will be my head as Christ is the head of the church. Well, during this time, I met a girl who was like-minded in the things of God. This was my friend from New York, Shirley. We talked about our desire for meeting the Lord's choice for us and how we would discern this. We joked about prospective men filling out a questionnaire. She knew I wouldn't settle for anything less than what the Lord required, but she also knew I had certain biases. I did not want to marry an American. I'm Canadian through and through, and I was not going to leave Canada. I did not want to marry an Indian. I struggled with the cultural demands placed on me as a female, and I did not want to deal with it on a marital basis. I did not want to marry someone short. I wanted to look after my husband. And I did not want to marry a physician. I dated one and wanted nothing more to do with them. Now, if you have met my husband, you know he is American, he's Indian, he's short, and he's a physician. So God certainly has a sense of humor. While Shirley and I corresponded, I surrendered myself to whomever the Lord wanted for me. If it was to remain single, then I would gladly serve him that way rather than settle for less. Although my resolve was strong in words, my heart was weak. I spent many nights crying to God, wondering whether I had set my standards too high. I had friends and relatives telling me that I had set my standards too high and that I would never marry. I sought the Lord, and he comforted me with his promises. Joshua 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Isaiah 41, 9, 10. You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions, and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Lamentations 3:22-25. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Jeremiah 29:11-13, and this is one of my favorite ones. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. As the saying goes, when God closes a door, he opens a window. Well, many windows opened. All of a sudden, there were numerous guys showing interest in me, and I've only dated one. The Lord was testing my resolve. I was so confused I did not know what to do, so I did as Scripture commanded. I waited on the Lord. Although God supposedly opened a window, he never told me to jump out of it. God may give us a choice or many choices, but we must still wait on his will and his timing rather than jumping ahead. The Old Testament shows us how King David did not wait on the Lord, but committed adultery and murder, and as a result, he lost his son. And the Lord said that the sword would never depart from his house. The next child David and Bathsheba had was Solomon, who is part of the lineage of Christ. Therefore, I believe that David was intended to marry Bathsheba, but not the manner in which he did or when he did. As I waited, the Lord slowly took all these potential mates away. They were fine Christians, and I'm sure they made wonderful husbands, but it was not the Lord's will for me. While this was going on, Shirley mentioned her cousin. A very sweet and dear friend, she described him as cuddly as a teddy bear, whom she thought I would make a suitable mate, but he was studying to be a doctor. She mentioned him a few times, but I thought nothing of it, until she asked my permission to mention it, me to him. I sought the Lord in prayer about this because I wanted to make sure it was nothing that I was doing on my part, but it was the Lord. And I agreed. Since I didn't hear about him again, I assumed he wasn't interested. That brings us back to the first letter, my wonderful 16-page letter. Well, I was told later on that he was trying to scare me off with this letter. And it didn't work. It was a beautiful letter that told me his desire of wanting to serve the Lord in the mission field. He was funny. He was intelligent. It was just a wonderful letter. But I wanted to be careful. So I wrote a very curt, short letter back to him. And he didn't reply for weeks. I thought, great, I ruined it. Finally, I received his second letter. He was doing an obstetrical rotation, and that's why he wasn't able to write back quickly. So this time, I wrote back right away. I wrote and wrote and wrote. I told him all about my assembly in Canada, Hopedale Bible Chapel, all my interests, all my goals, my desire to serve the Lord. By the time I was finished, it was 22 pages long. I knew that if I didn't mail this letter right away, it would end up in the trash. And then again, I had to wait. I did not receive another letter from him, but I received a call from Kings County Hospital, Psychiatry Prison Ward. He was doing a rotation there. We ended up speaking for that entire week. And it was a 20-minute conversation. They were about 7 hours long each night. We knew before we even saw each other, we realized that this was the Lord's will that we marry. We based this on spiritual issues rather than peripheral ones. Well, I wanted to find out what he looked like because we committed to each other before ever seeing one another. And I asked him what he had looked like. And all he told me was he was 380 pounds. I had no concept of this number. I nonchalantly told my mother this. I remember she was sitting up in her bed. She fell back and almost had a heart attack. She told me that they would have to make special seats on the plane for men like me. I later found out that he was just joking. I should have put in my marriage requirements that my husband have a better sense of humor. Well, July 6th was the first time we met. Sam was so excited that he jumped off the van platform of his parents' van and almost broke it. Then he jammed his finger in the door. Then he was halfway up to my front door before his parents called him back to the van to pray. We had wanted our parents to meet so that we had their blessing. Because we were both raised in Christian homes, we knew the value of their blessing upon our marriage. Well, we had to leave. My parents and I had to leave the following week to go to India for my brother's wedding. So we did not tell anybody that we were engaged. When I came back, we went to New York. My friend Heather and I, the girl who sang last year at the conference, and there, Sam serenaded me. He's a very good singer. Well, Heather and I thought this brilliant idea that I would serenade him. So December 7th, 1996, the Lord married us. And we had a beautiful wedding. And I tried to serenade my husband. Well, first of all, I don't sing. Then I was sick and I had laryngitis. But the Lord is so good. He made our wedding so beautiful. My husband finished the song with me. One of our favorite verses, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Well, Sam was finishing up medical school and applying for residency programs when we married. He didn't match to the programs he wanted, but was accepted at a program in Erie. We had never heard of this town and wondered what good could come out of Erie. When we moved here, we both wanted to pack our bags and turn the other way. It just wasn't home to us. I couldn't go back to Canada. Sam missed New York. I missed my friends, my family, and the familiarity of Canada. I remember Jay Washburn mentioning that he hoped we would stay after Sam's residency program was completed. Sam and I just laughed. That would never happen, we said to ourselves. Well, again, we yielded our will to the Lord's will, and the Lord gave us a heart for the assembly in Erie. As we still planned to leave Erie, it broke our hearts to think of leaving our Christian family, but the Lord had different plans. Sam is now practicing in Erie, and we have no inclinations to leave until the Lord calls us to a third world mission. As I said before, I couldn't go back to Canada. I came to the States legally, but I stayed longer, much longer than I was allowed. I mentally blocked this from my mind because I knew this was not God's will. And I could not bring myself to trust the Lord to deal with it without separating Sam and I for months or years. Well, I was here for 3 years when we finally decided to go back to Canada for a visit. We celebrated my second daughter's first birthday. We had such a wonderful time there. We had no problems coming across the border that we tried it again a couple months later. We spent my birthday there and our summer vacation. When I went back over the border, I was in my parents' car, and my husband took the children himself, and he had no problems going over. But we were stopped at the border. I was caught. As Abraham deceived Abimelech about his wife being his cousin, I also tried to deceive the border authorities, and I failed. I lied to them, and I knew that I had sinned. And I needed to set things right with them and the Lord. The INS had threatened me that I could be barred from entering the state for 5 to 10 years. I could have even been imprisoned. We spoke with an immigration lawyer who told us that my visa entry would take anywhere from 6 months to 2 years. We were devastated. We were apart. But this time we trusted the Lord explicitly. And the Lord is faithful to his promises. I was reunited with my husband only after 3 weeks. Being stuck in Canada, my first home, I realized I could never be happy unless I was walking in the will of the Father and by my husband's side. Well, now we are in Erie. We have 3 beautiful children, Cassia, Terzalyn, and Zachariah. 4.5 years, numerous trials, and these 3 children later, the Lord is as good as his word. Thank you. The Lord is as good as his word. Thank you.